This is the Friends of History Debating Society in Londinium. It's a beautiful, moist spring evening. All of the daffodils are ready to bloom as soon as the sun comes out, which in Londinium is not predicted. You just enjoy it when it arrives. And we have been discussing the 21st century. I want to discuss momentarily the first century of BCE. This is Cicero's condemnation of Catiline. Catiline was an ambitious man who wanted to be consul. He kept being turned back. Cicero denounced him as an assassin, a man who was plotting the overthrow of the Republic with all the worst people, the sons who were wastrels of rich men, the libertines, all of them of the city, and said that he was plotting to murder the senators who were in his way. And the Senate listened to him once, twice, thrice. Cicero came forward with dates that Catiline was plotting with his accomplices, and the ones that he can't persuade, he buys, no matter who they are. He uses money he borrows from others. Catiline, in Cicero's opinion, is the worst of Romans, though he's well-born. It's a detail here that Cicero is not well-born. He's an outsider. He is a machine. He's a very effective rhetorician. He speaks beautifully. His cadence is everything. Think of Churchill in a toga with the command of the Senate. He condemns Catiline not once, but four times. And it occurred to me, Germanicus, listening to it one more time, that there was something generic about the way Cicero condemned Catiline, that Catiline was guilty, according to Cicero, of the very act of disorder that Caesar later advanced. The very act, the civil war, the upsetting of the regular order, the demand on the Senate to make law changes, the preparation for a campaign to the east, the redoing of the calendar, just imperiousness on Caesar's part. Now, we understand the conditions at that time were not the same as today. But in any event, and Cicero eventually paid for his clever tongue because he crossed Mark Antony and his accomplices in the war that followed. However, what do you make of Cicero if he was just turning that on to advance himself, and that Catiline, who denied everything, was not guilty?
Let's imagine for a moment that Cicero catapulted ahead 20 centuries, was a blue senator, not in the Roman Senate, but in the U.S. Senate. And as a blue senator, he would level the most hair-raising accusations at red leaders, especially one red leader. And we can see, I think, there that Cicero's enormous power was one of turning a kind of rhetorical cannon on his opponent and elevating him into an icon of evil. And as a destructive device of that much effectiveness, the Democrats could only dream, and in their wildest dreams and imagination, wish that they could have had such an instrument, because Cicero's cannon was exactly what the Democrats wanted and needed and could never find. And as they attacked the latter-day Catiline, they expended huge barrages, massive artillery concentrations at their enemy, and they were ineffective. And yet Cicero, all by himself, could not only attack Catiline, but also create a problem in future decades for the leaders that would emerge, the leaders of the people, like Caesar. And it is it's important to say here, and I think we should look back at latter-day moments like Russiagate and all of the things that Mr. Trump was accused of. There's an article in the Zeitschrift für Alte Geschichte by a guy named K.H. Waters, 1970. And he writes, a recent writer has said it is possible that the importance of Catiline's conspiracy is overestimated by some modern historians. To me, this appears a magnificent understatement. Not only has its importance been greatly exaggerated, the scale, extent, duration, and aims of the conspiracy, perhaps its very existence, have all been vastly overstated. Only in the fertile imagination of Cicero himself could many of the alleged facts have had their origin. Like, for example, shall we raise Mr. Brennan's approach to the laptop scandal, et cetera, et cetera, Russiagate and all of its permutations. But arguably, Cicero was so effective in creating this icon of evil that was threatening the Republic that it was necessary for the greatest Roman historians that we have from that period, Sallust and Suetonius, for them to use the conspiracy of Catiline indirectly as a way to elevate the virtues of Caesar, that he was not Catiline, that in fact Caesar was, he was beyond reproach. His integrity was stainless. And that in many ways speaks even more to the problem that we've been talking about this evening of creating a civil war. Cicero could help create a civil war. He wasn't as a loose cannon identifying the evil and corruption of the Republic. He was part of that corruption by inventing someone that had to be expunged, right, and trying to make him an icon of evil. And it kind of is a reflection of the problem that he was politically and at the heart of the Roman Constitution, that it was necessary for great writers, Sallust at that time, but then a century later, Suetonius, to make a point of showing how the decisive leader of that age, which was Gaius Julius Caesar, was not Catiline, that he was about to give birth to something better for Rome, which would be the Augustan system.
We will stay with this topic, Germanicus, because we're advancing our work, which is the Imperial Project, the solution to the chaos of the 21st century is a king, or to translate, an emperor. Germanicus, Gaius, Londinium, off to the theater. We might get lucky and have another Terence play. I doubt it. I just love it when they fall in love with a poor orphan girl and dad is up unhappy. You know what's coming, but you go through the hour and a half it takes to get to the marriage. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.